Hello, and welcome to the Know the News podcast, brought to you by the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. And I'm your host, Rusty Turner. Last November, the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette brought you a story about Brittany Kelly, a founder of a local nonprofit that focuses on distributing tools to help people overcome opioid addiction. The nonprofit, Northwest Arkansas Harm Reduction, distributes overdose recovery kits and fentanyl test strips, which can detect the presence of fentanyl in other drugs. Brittany, whose brother Matt Adams died of an opioid overdose in 2017, thinks the presence of either of those tools might have saved his life. But there's a problem. The test strips are considered drug paraphernalia and are illegal in Arkansas. There's a proposal working its way through the Arkansas legislature that could change that. And our reporter, Tom Sissom, who brought you that original story a few months ago, will have a follow-up in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. He's here with me today to talk about that. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
All right, so let's get some basics out of the way. For those who don't know, what is fentanyl and why is it showing up in other street drugs?
Well, it's a synthetic opioid, and why it's becoming so prevalent is because it's so cheap and easy to manufacture, and people who have been dealing drugs, you know, cocaine and other things, have discovered they can add or just substitute fentanyl. It is highly addictive and very powerful, so just a tiny amount will get people either addicted or such a high that they'll want to be repeat customers, essentially. The downside is it is so strong that a tiny amount can kill you.
Yeah. I think your original story said that fentanyl is 50 times more potent than heroin?
At least, yes. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, if it's uncut, I mean, almost any amount will kill you. They dilute it with other things, which makes it less dangerous, but any amount is dangerous.
And so the idea that Brittany Kelly's idea of distributing fentanyl test strips, that's for somebody who might be using an opioid of some kind. They can test it to see if fentanyl is actually present in that drug. Is that the reason that she's distributing those test strips?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You can use these test strips, and the Centers for Disease Control has recommended to people. I mean, they obviously recommend you don't use any of these illicit and illegal drugs. Yeah. But if you are doing it, these test strips can save your life.
Okay. Because it would identify the presence of fentanyl and would tell you, hey, this stuff could be way more potent than I expect and perhaps could kill me.
Yes. Yeah. And the Drug Enforcement Administration has said that most of the overdose victims, or many of the overdose victims, don't know that they're taking fentanyl.
Right.
They, you know, the pills are manufactured in such a way that they look like legitimate prescription drugs. They mentioned OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin as examples of things they have found are actually fentanyl.
Wow. Wow. So now you met Brittany Kelly last fall when you did the original story, and she was distributing not only the fentanyl test strips to folks who wanted them, but also opioid overdose recovery kits that include a drug called naloxone or Narcan. I guess Narcan is the proper name. But tell me about those. What do those do?
Well, those will reverse the effects of an opioid overdose if you administer them quickly enough and correctly. A lot of police agencies have given those to their officers. Initially, it was with the thought that if an officer was somehow exposed to this, they might need to use it on themselves. But the problem has evolved in such a way and it's become so widespread that they're almost entirely now using them on people who have overdosed.
And I recall in your first story, you had quite a few statistics about the number of OD calls, overdose calls that local first responders were making, and then the significant number of naloxone treatments they were giving in those cases when they came across somebody who was overdosing.
Just a couple of years ago, the number of those incidents would probably, you could count it on one hand or two hands at the most. Now they've climbed up into the dozens and hundreds.
Let's put some context here. The number of overdose deaths in the country in parts of, and specifically this part of the country, have really increased over the last couple of years. Is that what you found?
Yeah. Federal government, the Centers for Disease Control, again, there's a time lag in gathering their statistics, obviously, but for a period, a 12-month period ending in October 2021, they reported more than 105,000 Americans dying of drug overdoses, and almost two-thirds of those were related to fentanyl and other synthetic opioids.
Wow.
To put that in context, a report from the Drug Enforcement Administration says that in 2021, there were more fentanyl-related deaths in the United States than gun-related and auto-related deaths combined.
Wow. Wow. So it is clearly a significant problem.
Right. And in Arkansas, there's a bill pending that would enhance criminal penalties for distribution, delivery of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And in the emergency clause of that particular bill, it says that the Arkansas State Crime Lab performed autopsies on 496 drug overdose deaths in 2021. And of those, 282 involved fentanyl.
Wow. Wow. So
just 5 years before that, there were 207 drug overdose deaths and only 8 involved fentanyl. So like the numbers are just skyrocketing.
Wow. So now let's go back and talk about those test strips again that are apparently, they are considered drug paraphernalia under Arkansas law right now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. Not just Arkansas law, though. We've got a report prepared for the state of Montana, actually. They were looking at some legislation last year. And according to information they gathered, test strips and, you know, similar testing equipment was illegal, completely illegal, in 25 states.
Wow.
The other 24 states and the District of Columbia had a mix of laws that it was illegal, but there were no criminal penalties. The only state that did not criminalize drug paraphernalia was Alaska.
Wow. So,
and apparently all of this stems from the 1970s when drug abuse and all of that was becoming a major issue. And a lot of states and local jurisdictions were trying to adopt laws to govern that. And there were a lot of court challenges. So the federal government, again, the Drug Enforcement Administration, produced what they called a Model Drug Paraphernalia Act in 1979. And that was adopted by, I think, 38 different states and the District of Columbia, pretty much word for word, and just left unchanged. Mm-hmm. And that particular act specifically identifies testing equipment as drug paraphernalia.
So after your story ran in November, and we talked to Brittany, who pretty much said she didn't care whether the test strips were legal or not, like they were life saving tools, and she needed to be helping distribute them. You also talked to prosecutors who said those aren't high priorities; they're much more interested in going after people who are selling drugs rather than someone who's you know, handing out test strips. There may be some changes coming there. Is that correct?
That's true. The bill that I just referenced that would enhance penalties for distribution and delivery of fentanyl also contains a section where it decriminalizes the possession of test strips specifically. Right. And there's another bill was introduced by Senator Justin Boyd, which deals just with the test strips issue. I talked to Senator Boyd about his particular bill, and he indicated that he had read the story in the newspaper and was interested in it. He's visited with Brittany Kelly and her organization, and he got more information at a conference about opioid abuse. And he's a pharmacist, apparently, and he thought it was a serious enough issue that he wanted to do something about it. So he introduced his standalone bill. Okay. He's told me that he's put it on hold, more or less, while the larger public safety legislation is pending. And if that goes forward with, you know, the provision that his bill includes, yeah, he would pull his bill. But if not, he's going to pursue it.
Okay. So his bill's on hold, and if the other bill passes with the provision that makes the test strips legal, then he'll let that stand rather than pursue his bill.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Now, what is I'm sure you've talked to Brittany Kelly. What does she say about all this?
Well, she's happy that it's gotten some attention. She would prefer that, you know, the laws be changed. She's going to pursue her efforts regardless. She gave me some information just a couple of days ago that since our story in November, she has continued to distribute the test strips and the Narcan kits. And from the contact she has had with individuals who've received them and used them, she and her group estimate that at least 40 people were able to avoid death.
Wow.
You know, or potential death by, you know, these drug overdoses. They were able to detect that whatever they were buying or getting from people was not what they thought it was. It was, in fact, fentanyl.
So, and you've got a story that details all this and more that's coming out in this weekend's editions. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So, Tom, what are we missing here? What else do we need to know about this?
Well, I have also spoken just again recently with Matt Durrett, who's the Washington County prosecuting attorney. He's also president of the State Prosecuting Attorneys Association, and they discussed this issue in their legislative committee during this current session. And he told me that he heard no opposition to this change in the law.
Okay. All right. Well, Tom, I appreciate the information, and I look forward to getting your story out to everyone this weekend, and hope we can count on you to keep following this and keep us updated on where these bills are going and what's happening with this issue.
I will do the best I can.
All right. I know you will. Thank you. My guest today is Tom Sissom. He's a reporter for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he's been writing about fentanyl test strips and overdose reversal kits that are being distributed by a local nonprofit, and some laws that are changing to make those test strips legal in Arkansas. So, Tom, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Here's some of the other great content we have coming your way this weekend. Stacey Ryburn takes another look at the balancing act in Fayetteville between the need for more affordable and higher density housing and the short-term rental business. Al Gaspany introduces us to a program at Farmington Schools in which ninth graders can begin preparing for jobs in the medical field. Mike Jones will tell us about a bike-friendly hotel opening soon in downtown Bentonville. Monica Brick will review Fort Smith Mayor George McGill's annual State of the City Address. Fort Smith school officials continue discussions about the possible rezoning of Barling Elementary School, Thomas Cicente reports. All of this and more is available to our subscribers at our tablet and smartphone apps and at our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleydemocratgazette.com. For those of you who are already subscribers, thank you for your support of local journalism. You're the reason we can keep you informed about the important news in your community. If you're not a subscriber, you should be. We've even got a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. Or you can call us at 479-684-5509. Again, the number is 479-684-5509. And then the website, again, is nwaonline.com/podcast23.
Thanks for listening today, and we'll be back next Friday with another edition of the Know the News podcast. Until then, this is your host, Rusty Turner, saying so long.